share with you this morning that if you just heard that song and you were not feeling well and you were down in the dumps, you do not need to be down in the dumps. That song had power with it and a message. Joy to the world, and all creation is singing, even in a COVID-19 environment. COVID cannot stop joy to the world. It cannot stop all creation singing. I just have one question for each one of us. Is your soul singing? Is your heart singing? Because Emmanuel has come and God is with us. Welcome this morning to the podcast from Berea Baptist Church. We're holding our worship service remotely and trying to take into account all the things that are taking place. So for the next few weeks, we will be meeting primarily via the podcast, maybe a few video messages, things such as that. But please stay tuned in. The messages will keep coming. We will celebrate the season. We will not miss a step. We will keep coming. Share the podcast with your family and friends and let people know that joy is in the midst of the world and all creation is singing. We also want to remind you that we have some reasons to celebrate. There's some birthdays in members of the congregation that we want to mention this week. And so on Sunday the 6th, Daniel Oakley has a birthday. So Daniel, we give you a shout out and wish you a very, very happy birthday. Then on Tuesday the 15th, we have Joanne Massey having a birthday. And so Joanne, we wish you a happy birthday. And then on Friday the 18th, Gary Hudson and Chris Mincy, both celebrating birthdays. So we hadn't met in 2 weeks, so we thought we'd catch everybody in this period of time. And so we wish you all a very, very happy birthday. We also have some prayer concerns that we want to share. As you know, there have been several families that have recently lost a loved one, and so we want to continue to remember them. And so the Mitchell family, Carol Wortham, Vince and Bradley Farrell and family, the Rigsby family, and the Gus Godwin family. Also want to keep Amy Rigsby in your prayers as well, as she had some surgery this week. So please continue to remember her in your prayers. Also, Hope Marlowe, Casey Bradley, Gwen Mumford in the hospital right now. Continue to remember Gwen. Also, Lisa Negelin is in the hospital as well. So please lift them up. Dana, person we mentioned over the summer, a nephew of Pat Farrell, is also still in the hospital. You want to continue to remember him and his family. Also, remember Jimmy Council, Ronnie Venable, and also Ray Insko. And there are others within the Berea family that we have been praying for and that are on the prayer list. And we want you to continue to pray. For prayer is one of the strongest things that we can do. If we look at daily routines and daily practices, we can pray, we can talk to God, and we can study God's Word. And we can ask for the Holy Spirit to give us discernment so that we can understand what we read. And dear Lord, we know that we can pray and that we can approach your throne of grace. Charles Spurgeon wrote a whole lot about the nature of prayer. And he talked about the approaching the throne of grace. And when we approach the throne of grace, we do it in reverence, in awe of God's availability to us. We can take our prayers, our concerns, and we can submit them in complete submission to God's will, to that throne of grace. We can lay our hearts out completely We can put everything at the throne. And we can have confidence. And we can be bold. Because we know that God will hear our prayers. So, may we pray. Our Father, we thank you for sending your Savior. It is during this season that we celebrate our Savior's birth. And it is the best Christmas present we could have. And it's available. It's for each one of us. Dear Lord, for each person and family that has been mentioned today, we lift them up. And we place them on your throne of grace. And dear Lord, we ask for healing. And we ask for your presence to be felt. Help us to understand you and to understand your ways. For we know that your grace and your mercy and your favor is with us. For we are your children. And you care about us. And as we will learn today, the Christ is the Emmanuel, which means God is with us always. And so we're so thankful for your presence. Dear Lord, we also ask that you equip us as members of Berea Baptist Church. Equip us to fulfill the Great Commission. Equip us to share the gospel. Help us to share it in a way that new believers can be baptized and discipled. And help us as a community to build each other up, to care for one another as you care for us, and to care for others. For you told us to love you and to love our neighbor as well. So, dear Lord, during this season of Christmas, may we be your ambassadors of joy. May we be your ambassadors of joy to this world in which we are living, where so much is going on right now. But we have a message of joy and light and love and mercy and forgiveness. So, dear Lord, help us to be in the midst of the revival that is coming to this land and the great awakening that is coming throughout this world, that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Dear Lord, we ask for healing and for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, today, for the children, got a little something to share with you. Now, I'm going to walk around a little bit, and you can see the church. You see all the flowers. Aren't these beautiful red poinsettias? So beautiful. And again, we can take a look at the tree. And, you know, you may have a Christmas tree in your house, and you may have put a star at the top, and you may have some ornaments that talk about Jesus in the manger, and you may even have a manger scene in your house. You may also have some candles, and you may have an Advent wreath. And you see, we have the Advent candles. But I want to ask you about something. Do you get scared sometimes? Do you get afraid sometimes? Maybe sometimes, you know, you might be left in a room alone, and you don't want to be alone. Or you may go to a new place, and, you know, you might not know anybody. Or anything like that. We get kind of scared. Sometimes we go to sleep and wake up and we might want to know, we kind of don't know where we are and we want to know where everybody is. We might get a little afraid. I'll tell you an old story. Now, when I was a little boy, and that was a long time ago, I had a nickname. They called me Rocky. And the reason they did that is because when I would stand, I was always moving kind of like this, and I'm still doing it all these years later, so I don't really know how to stay still. But they called me Rocky. But here's how I got the name. See, I'd wake up at night, I get up, and I was afraid. I didn't like the dark. And so I would go, and I would stand at the bed where my mother was. And I wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't shake or anything. I would just sit there and rock and stare at her until she woke up. Now, I tell you, I startled her sometimes when she woke up because she had all these eyes looking at her. But you know what? When I saw her and she looked at me, I had a great big old smile. And I wasn't afraid anymore. And you know, I want to help you out with that. You know your parents care about you, and those that are taking care of you, they don't want you to be afraid. And they'll do their best to keep you from being afraid. And I want to remind you something else, too, about why we don't have to be afraid. You see, we have this Advent wreath and the candles here. And we have two of them that have been lit. And they remind us of some additional things about Advent. And Advent is that time of the coming of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. And so we want to remember to have faith. Jesus loves us. We have faith. We want to believe that. And we also have joy, because that's something that makes us really happy. But I want to share you something about Jesus. You see, if we look in the book of the Gospel of Matthew, and maybe your parents will read, or caregivers will read this story to you. But I want to share you some words that were written over 700 years before Jesus was born. But they were talking about Jesus. And here's what they are. "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us." So I have a word for you to look at today. And so you'll see this smiley face, but I'm going to tell you another reason why your face can be smiling. Because Emmanuel, Jesus is also known as Emmanuel. Can you say that? Let's try it. Emmanuel. Yeah. It's a neat name, isn't it? And it means God with us. So let's try this together on three. One, two, three. Emmanuel, God is with us. And that's what I want you to remember. Whether you're looking at your Christmas tree, whether you're looking at the candles for the Christmas season, or the poinsettias, just remember, Jesus is also known as Emmanuel. God loves you. Your parents love you. Your caregivers love you. Jesus loves you. And God is always with us. See you next week. Wait. God is with us, taking straight out of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah tells us that the virgin will conceive, and a child will be born, and he will be named Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so this week with our Advent candles, we've added or lit two additional candles. Since we were not able to meet last week, we kind of combined two together. And so we want to talk about the candle representing joy and the candle representing faith. You see, the road to Bethlehem begins in a manger. Mary and Joseph had to exhibit so much faith. A child born in a manger. But yet, that road from Bethlehem led eventually to Jerusalem. There was joy in this birth of this babe. But there also became the cross and the resurrection and the rejoicing that came in the forgiveness of sin and in the eternal life, the gift of eternal life through the conquest of death. So you see, when we light these candles of faith and joy, we realize that God is not far from us. God has come and dwells among us. For that, we can have great faith and we can exercise trust that God really does love us. We also know that when we look at the joy that we have from the gift that we have received, that there's a lot of beauty and glitter that we see tonight and during at nighttime as we have prepared for Christmas. In fact, many of you may have taken some walks around your neighborhood just to look at all of the lights, and it brings great joy. I have to admit, it's fun to walk around watching lights with persons under 6 years of age. They see a beauty, and they remind you, and they remind us of what it's like to experience this season. But also, as we get older, we realize that there's additional joy that we can have. It is the joy that comes when we understand the beauty of the heart and the soul of a believer, of the love that can be shared in service to others and in offering hospitality. So these candles represent faith and joy, and they remind us that in this season, we've all received the gift of the Christ child. Emmanuel, God is indeed with us. And so you see, this is exactly where we're going today. His name is Emmanuel. And I want to ask you something very, very important. And be honest as you think about this question. Here it is. How are you really doing this Christmas season? This one's a little different from Christmases in the past. It's been, for many of you, this is the first time you may have not been able to meet with others to worship at Christmas time. That's a little different. In fact, this may be the first time that Berea's never held a Christmas service in person. That's significant. But yet, We're still here. We're proclaiming the message from Berea. And you're hearing the good news of the birth of the Christ child. So while some things are different, Christmas is still coming. The Savior has been born. And as a community of believers, we're still gathering through podcast and sharing the word. You see, the message really cannot be stopped. There's always a way. And so we take this avenue. And we can remember that we are celebrating a season of love, of grace and mercy and gratitude. And that Christmas spirit cannot be taken away from us. No matter what you're feeling, whatever you're going through, that cannot be taken from us. Now, that doesn't mean that for some of us, Christmas can be a very hard time. Christmas can be a hard time, particularly if you've lost a loved one, because it reminds you of so many things. That's understandable. You know, oftentimes we experience a lot of different storms in our life. It can be the loss of someone dear to us. It can be the chaos and the craziness associated with the COVID pandemic. It can be a world that's upside down. All of those can impact us. Sometimes we have doubts. Sometimes we fear for our safety. Sometimes our finances aren't secure as we would like them to be. Sometimes we experience relationship issues, and they hurt. Health concerns. They come. They're real. We get discouraged. And yes, even though God is with us, we still get lonely. And although God has our back, we still worry. Temptations still come. We experience guilt over choices that we make. We also have to deal with anger, excuse me, and resentment, and jealousy, and failure. And how often do we put things off? But even in the midst of all of that, here's the message of Christmas, and here's the message of Isaiah, which Matthew also picks up and reminds us in his story of the birth of Jesus. And the message is this: God is always with us. And so today, we're going to take a look at two different passages of Scripture. And here is the important takeaway. God is with us. Emmanuel was prophesied, and that prophecy has been fulfilled. So if you have your Bibles with you, or your tablet, or your cell phone, check out Isaiah. Let's go to chapter 7, and we'll take a look at verses 10 through 17. Embedded in this passage is the Emmanuel prophecy. But look at the situation that Isaiah was addressing, again, over 700 years before Christ's birth. Then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, who was a king. Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Now that's different. Here he's asked by Isaiah. Ask for God to give you a sign. See, Ahaz was a little worried. He had a couple of other kings that were kind of breathing down his neck. And he was concerned about how things were going to work out. And he didn't know if the nation would be able to stand. And so Isaiah is asking Ahaz to look at, ask God. Ask God. Ask God for a sign. He tells him it can be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. But Ahaz replied, I will not ask. I will not test the Lord. Isaiah said, listen, house of David. Now that's important. Listen, house of David. Is it not enough for you to try the patience of men? Will you also try the patience of God? Now that's something to think about. Trying the patience of God. And remember, God is willing to give a sign. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. By the time he learns to reject what is bad and choose what is good, he will be eating curds and honey. In other words, think about children. They'll tell it to you straight. They don't filter things. And if they don't like you, you'll know it. For before the boy knows to reject what is bad and choose what is good, the land of the two kings that you dread will be abandoned. The Lord will bring on you, your people, and your father's house such a time as has never been seen since Ephraim separated from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. Now, a little background here. Ahaz doesn't ask for a sign, but God gives it to him anyway. Now, he said he didn't want to test God, but see, that's not the whole story. There's something else going on that you needed to know. You see, Ahaz had strayed from God. He was already testing God's patience. He had filled Jerusalem with idols. He was worshiping Moloch, who was a Canaanite god that was associated with such things as fire, war, and child sacrifice. Now that child sacrifice is important because you see Ahaz sacrificed one of his sons to Moloch. And rather than relying on God to protect him, he worked out a deal with the Assyrian king. So you ask yourself, how'd that work out? Well, for Ahaz, it didn't work out well at all. Because not only that he didn't have to worry about the two kings that were breathing down his back, he had to end up worrying about the Assyrian king because in 722, the Assyrians obliterated the northern kingdom. And that was the end of that. So that didn't work out too well for Ahaz. But Isaiah gave this prophecy about a son, about a child, who would be called Emmanuel. And so let me share with you a few verses from Matthew. So let's go to chapter 1 of Matthew. And let's look at the very first verse. An account of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then go down to verse 17. All of the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. And from David into the exile to Babylon, which was in 586 B.C., 14 generations. And from the exile to Babylon and to the Christ, 14 generations. You see, Christ, like Ahab's, was from the line of David. Christ was tied to the line of David. Mary was his mother. God was his father. And Joseph helped raise him. The early church saw this prophecy from Isaiah as a fulfillment of who Jesus is. Because later on, in verse 22 in the first chapter, after we have this discussion about how Jesus was to be born, and we'll get into that next week, it says, Matthew says, "Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated, "God is with us." This is what the early church saw when they looked back to the scriptures. They saw this verse. Now, Matthew is quoting Isaiah 7:14, same thing that we read. However, the passage that he is quoting is from the Septuagint, so I'll give you a little bit of a history lesson. The Septuagint is the Koine Greek translation of the Old Testament. It was put together around the 3rd century B.C., Many of the Jewish people throughout the diaspora, or the spreading out of the Jewish people, did not read Hebrew. It was Greek, and it was Koine Greek, and it was everyday Greek. So it wasn't classical Greek. It was the kind of Greek that would be everyday communication, easily understood. And the Greek word for virgin, which you find in both the Septuagint and in Matthew's gospel, is parthenos, virgin, unmarried woman. Isaiah, in his text in Hebrew, used the word alma, a young woman of marriageable age. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is the virgin who gives birth to Emmanuel. And God is indeed with us. Thus, Matthew 1, 22 through 23 ultimately leads to John 3:16. God gave his only begotten Son so that all who believe may not perish but have eternal life. That's the Christmas gift. That's why we celebrate Advent. So, because God is with us, we can move forward in our lives no matter what we're facing. David Jeremiah's newest book, Forward, is most timely. Because now is a time, with everything that we are facing, that we need to be reminded of the importance of moving forward, but let's don't be like Ahaz. Let's move forward with God rather than without God. It does matter, and it does make a difference. May we ask the Holy Spirit to open the meaning of the Bible to us. We pray for discernment, spiritual discernments, that we may receive daily bread from God's Word. Let us remember the important realities in life. Here's an important one. God loves each one of us. God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us as we move through and beyond the COVID-19 experiences. God is always with us no matter what we're facing. If you have a hymnal with you at home, I'm going to invite you to look one up. And there's a song about God's faithfulness. And you know the song I'm talking about, the hymn I'm talking about. Great is thy faithfulness. When's the last time you took a look at those words? Great hymn. Let me share them with you for just a moment. And then it's three verses, and then we'll go to the chorus. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow or turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. You want something constant in your life? There it is, God. Unchanging. Summer and winter, and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, and we look for that peace. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Strength for today, hope for tomorrow. All the bases are covered in God's faithfulness. Blessings are mine and 10,000 beside. And then you go to that familiar chorus. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto you and unto me. It doesn't get any better than that. God is faithful. God is with us. Emmanuel. May we replace our inner negative self-talk. And we do that. We know we do. We face a battle all the time in our mind between something negative and something positive. And it's always interesting to see which one works out and wins out. But we have a reason to be positive and to affirm our blessings. Yes, we're sinners. We're all sinners. And we will continue to sin. But we have been saved by grace. We are, or can be, God's children. God is loving, merciful, gracious, and he bestows his favor upon us. We may be struggling with some issues, but God is with us. And believe it or not, the best really is to come. Because the best means meeting Jesus face to face. So let's commit to focusing on our blessings this Christmas and this New Year's season. And maybe we could do a few things. Ask yourself, how might I share the good news of Christ's unconditional love with others. Yeah, we're under curfews and we're under constrictions, but you know, God still provides those divine appointments. And when one is given to us, may we take it and share the good news. Forget bah humbug. And go to the children's page, because maybe we'll get that smiling face on the children's page. And smile. Have you ever noticed what happens when you smile at somebody? Even when you're mad, you can't stay mad long if someone just keeps smiling at you and won't let up. Smile. How can you and I bless someone this season? And may our daily activities include prayer and Bible study. You see, we can rejoice because God is indeed with us. He always has been, and He always will be. We have all received the most precious gift of all this Christmas. That gift is God's Son, Jesus, Emmanuel. So if something is missing in your life this holiday season, could it be Jesus? Be willing to pray the sinner's prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I accept your forgiveness. I accept your love. I accept your affirmation that I am a child of God. I know that you love me and you accept me and receive me just as I am. Please come into my life and turn it around. If you allow God to do that, please get involved with a local church. And always know that the doors of Berea Baptist Church here in Durham are open to you. We'd love to see you. We'd love you to help us get out the good news and share God's mercies, His love, and His blessings. If you feel that your Christian walk is not what it should be, and you want to reaffirm your commitment to God, do it. Do it today, so that we may fulfill the Great Commission together. So as we leave today, as you shut down this podcast, consider sharing it with someone. If God's put somebody on your mind, let them know. Ask them to help check us out. Share the good news. Let somebody know you're thinking about them, that you love them, that you care about them. And as we go about our daily routines, may we remember this one thing. The Virgin has conceived. She has borne God's Son. His name is Jesus. We also know Him as Emmanuel, a prophecy that was given 700 years before He was born. But it was fulfilled. And that birth is just as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago. God is with each one of us. May we go in peace with the assurance that God is always with us. And all God's people rejoicingly said, Amen.